Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Yeah, Solana giving us that sultry beat for the 5 o'clock Funky Buddha happy hour. I could go for a Floridian or a Hop Gun right about now. Right a bite now.
Right a bite now. You know what?
Right a bite now.
You talking about the Funky Buddha Tap Room.
That's right.
Because they have food over there. So right a bite now. Man,
love it.
Oh, the Yucatots, the wings, the bison burger, the sliders. Oh, my goodness gracious.
You know, I've never had a bison burger.
Really?
It's delicious. Never.
Go to Funky Buddha, really. They have a bison burger. They like mixing bacon in the actual patty.
Oh, that sounds glorious.
It's delicious, ain't it? Man, the wings are awesome. Like, it's a, yeah, the tap room has all the crazy beers, the IPAs, the Blonde Ale, the lagers. I'll ask you how you say this. I'm not a fan of this word. The Hefeweizen.
I think it's a Hefeweizen.
Hefeweizen.
Yeah,
it's
nailed
delicious.
It. Nailed it.
It's a Floridian. Yeah. Everybody knows Funky Buddha.
Which is
Floridian.
Floridian is my favorite Funky Buddha brew.
It's the Hefeweizen.
Yeah.
That's German.
It's German, yeah.
German, yeah. The tropical ale. They got a new one that's delicious.
Okay.
They have a low-calorie IPA called the Chant IPA right
wow.
now. 95 calorie, but it's hoppy.
Look at
I
that.
Fell in love with that the last time I went, but my thing is the Hop Gun. But
that's why you look so in shape lately.
Yeah, man.
Because you're drinking that 95 calorie stuff.
Started trimming up a little bit.
Look at you.
No, I'm lying. My look gut is getting out of
control. No, I don't know about that. I think you look good. Really do. I love you.
What the? No, why you don't do that? Love the Funky Buddha. Love Funky Buddha. You know what? I do love Funky Buddha.
Yeah.
I just get excited when it's just like when I think about my wife. Same way. Think
same
about
way.
Funky Buddha. I get excited. It's on 38th Street between Oakland Park and Commercial. That's the Funky Buddha Tap Room. It really is delicious. 5 minutes away from 95. I love going down there, hanging out. You can watch the Panthers away games there. Panther home games, too, if you don't want to go down to the BB&T, where there is the Funky Buddha Tap Room at the BB&T as well, right across from Pantherland.
That is my spot.
Oh, my goodness. Between periods, you got to go get you a Hop Gun, man. It makes hockey so much more fun. But Funky Buddha, I love it. If you try it, you'll love it. Check out the food. Check out the beer. You'll have a good time. Funky Buddha Tap Room, 38th between Oakland Park and Commercial.
Yeah, somebody on the text line, I think they were reacting to, we both made a comment in the last segment. I mentioned that, you know, maybe if the Dolphins continue to let me down for another 50 years, maybe in like 45 years, I would move on to a different team. You know, you talked about the fact that you're, even though you played for the Dolphins, you're a Tampa Bay Buccaneers fan. I think after hearing our comments, someone wrote in, wow, you guys really hate the Dolphins. I mean, honestly, no, I love the Dolphins. I mean, you really cannot match the passion that I have for the University of Miami football team. I mean, I was a hardcore Miami UM fan even before I was a hardcore Dolphin fan, and going to the university. I'm not saying you have to have gone to a university to be a fan of their team. That's not what I'm saying. But I think going there even intensified my passion for the U. So the U could suck for the rest of my life, and I would never turn my back on them. Maybe in like 50 years, maybe I'd turn my back on the Dolphins. I don't know. But all this to say, I don't quite have the passion for Miami Dolphins football that I have for the U. And clearly, you don't have the passion for Dolphins football.
No, to that person, I've had this conversation before. I want to ask him, like, why would I be a Dolphins fan? Because I play for them? Because they drafted me? Like, should Ted Ginn be a Dolphins fan?
Yeah, well, probably not.
Because he got made fun of down here, and now New Orleans loves him. Like, should Ricky Williams be a New Orleans Saints fan or a Dolphin fan? Because Rick played for the Saints, the Dolphins, and the Ravens. Like, the person that says that, because I've told people that all the time. Are you a Dolphins fan? I'm like, I follow the Dolphins. I know all the players.
Yeah.
You know, I analyze the Dolphins. But do I care if they win or lose on a Sunday? Not really. I get more upset when the Bucs get their ass drug and Jameis throws 4 interceptions than I do in the Dolphins. So, to that person, text back in, like, What would make a player that's drafted by a team, why should they automatically become a fan of that team? It's really a job that they can cut you at any moment.
Well, I mean, and you, like, the fans always liked you when you were with the Dolphins. So, like, the Ted Ginn thing is a little bit different because I could understand, like, if your entire fan base hates you, why you probably wouldn't be a fan of that team after moving on from that team. But you didn't have that problem. You were well-liked down here.
Yeah.
I guess fans just want to think that everyone is going to approach it the way, like, Jason Taylor would approach it, where, you know, he seems to be a huge Dolphin fan. I don't know the man personally, but mm-hmm. he seems to be a big Dolphin fan, spent not his entire career, but most of his career here as a Miami Dolphins icon. I think fans always want to think that, you know, I'm Dan Marino, a big Dolphin fan. Like, you want great or loved or liked former players to be fans of that team for their life.
You're a fan of the team because you were raised down here.
Yeah.
Because your parents have been here.
Because I've lived down here my entire life. It's the local team. I support my local team.
Miami guy, baby.
Yeah.
Let him know, Dono.
That's why I'm a Heat fan, baby. Well, I think, you know, even if I didn't live down here, I'd probably still be a Heat fan.
Dade County, 305.
Yeah.
Dale.
I got to Miami when I was 21.
There you go. You could actually have fun by the time you got down here.
Yeah, but should I forget the first 21 years of my life and living and all that? And
are you just
say, I'm in Miami.
Are you an Atlanta Hawks fan?
No, I'm not a basketball fan. Never.
Okay.
They had the Hawks. The Braves were good. Chipper Jones' ass was there when I was in Atlanta. It was more Braves love than Hawks love when I was young. So yeah, the Braves. I followed them as a kid. But yeah, even when I moved to Atlanta, I lived in Tampa as a kid. And my dad played for the Bucks, so there was more Buccaneer stuff around the house before my mom and dad got divorced. So the Bucks was the first NFL team I saw. Even in Atlanta, I didn't become a Falcons fan. And that's when the Falcons were good. That was the Dirty Bird time. That's Jamal Anderson. Falcons were decent. I was still riding with the Bucks, with the little sassy man with the knife in his mouth. I was still riding with the Pirate.
Do you think Adam Gase is a Dolphins fan?
No. I don't think the NFL is a fan of Adam Gase.
Now, I thought this was interesting, a Barry Jackson piece in the Miami Herald. There are several Dolphin players who said they will be pleased to see Adam Gase when the Jets visit Hard Rock Stadium. So you think they're lying? So Jakeem Grant said this: me personally, he truly cared about me. That's what I love about him. Me and him have a relationship outside of football. Whenever the season is not going, I talk to him. He asked me how my family is doing, and I ask him the same, which is kind of a funny. He asked me how my family's doing. I ask him the same. It's a funny quote, but that's Jakeem Grant giving some love to Adam Gase. Offensive tackle Jesse Davis called Gase a good friend of mine. He gave me my shot. He had a lot of trust in me. I can see that, because when the head coach who really gave you your first chance, that's probably something you'll appreciate the rest of your career.
Oh, yeah. Like, I appreciate Nick Saban for drafting me.
Yeah.
You know, playing him and him drafting me and people questioning the whole thing. We're talking about the character issue. So I appreciate that. But, I don't know how somebody would like Adam Gase. He's in it with his fan. Jamal Adams, have you seen this story? Jamal Adams isn't speaking to him.
Yeah, he's not an Adam Gase fan.
He tried to trade Le'Veon Bell. He got rid of Jay Ajayi. He alienated, who was it, Byron Maxwell? He alienated, was it Mario Williams? Like, Adam Gase, he cut three linemen in the same day because his offensive play calls
right.
don't work.
Who is it? It was Dallas Thomas, Billy Turner, and Jameel Douglas, I think, all got cut the same day.
Like, this dude isn't a player's coach. So I can see isolated guys. Jakeem Grant, maybe. You know, Adam Gase used to utilize him, have him in those trick plays and stuff. I can see how he'll like him. Jesse Davis, the guy gave him a chance. But overall, I guarantee there's players on the Dolphins that want to beat the Jets just to embarrass Adam Gase.
Yeah.
Come on, you know
Adam Gase is going to try to embarrass the Dolphins by running up the score. But the joke is kind of on him, because most of the fans want to lose the game anyway.
But then,
it would just take the suspense away, right? Because everyone was freaking out against the Redskins when the Dolphins could have won it on a 2-point conversion. Oh, my God, we can't convert this. We're freaking out. If the Jets are up 30, it just means a lot of people's minds will be clear, you know?
What are the Jets, 1-7?
Yeah.
They've had 8 opportunities to play football this year. They're averaging 11 points a game, Donald. I don't see a score being run up at any time soon with Adam Gase.
It's
going to
be
offense.
A close game. It's going to be.
It's going to be low scoring. It's going to be close. It's two bad offenses right now.
Yeah.
I think the Dolphins are averaging less than 10. Like, they're going to struggle offensively.
Who would you to win one football game? So don't think any long term or age or anything like that. Just to win one football game, would you take Ryan Fitzpatrick or Sam Darnold?
Ryan Fitzpatrick.
So would I.
Yeah.
So would I.
Because I just hear he's going to take a chance. He's going to do it. It's like Ryan still has a little something in him. Sam, I don't know if his spleen is still enlarged. I don't know what's going on with mono. Never had mono, Dono.
I had it. My spleen was
gigantic. You had mono, Dono?
I had mono when I was 19. I couldn't.
Kissing people in the mouth?
Maybe nothing.
Like, how would you get mono other than kissing in the mouth?
I mean, freshman year of college, I was doing my thing.
What are y'all sharing whistles?
No,
like, how do
sharing
you get,
whistles,
sharing forks? How do you get mono not kissing?
I think it was kissing.
Okay,
freshman year of college,
just
yeah.
randomly kissing people.
It happened a few times.
He was,
man.
He was running them streets.
You get some of that funky Buddha brew in you, and you start to run a little wild.
I want to hear this story.
Before we get to that, let's get to headlines with Alejandro Solana.
Headlines are brought to you by Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. Dono made it stink.
Huh? I put some stank on it?
Was that
Oh, my goodness. Gracious.
How bad did he botch that?
Dono made it stink.
Dono made it stink, man.
Put some stank on it. There's no saying if somebody made it stink. That sounds like they went to the bathroom.
What's the difference?
Put some stank on it? That's like a little.
If you put stank on it, you made it stink.
No, sorry, bro. Mm-mm, that just sounds dirty.
You wasted a headline on that joke?
Don't make it stink.
What else we got?
Manny Diaz announced earlier today, we've talked about it all day, and we had on Andrew Ivins in the last hour, that Jaren Williams will start versus FSU this Saturday.
Which is the right call to me. And it was funny, I was expecting Andrew to be in my camp on it. He was a little bit torn on it as to whether that was the right decision or not. You are kind of going with the hot hand. Whether that was the I don't know if that was the criteria or not for Diaz, but you could say Jaren Williams is the hot hand because he came in and engineered the game-winning drive through the game-winning touchdown pass in the Pittsburgh game. But also, to me, this is consistency. It's sticking with your guns because Jaren Williams is the guy who won the starting job preseason. And Diaz had been saying for weeks, even when Jaren wasn't playing because he had the upper body injury, the shoulder issue, that he's our guy. And when he's healthy, he's the starter. So here we go. I respect the fact that Manny Diaz has given him the starting job back, and that's where the conversation ends for me.
But isn't it hot hand? Like, because think about it. Let's go back. Then the Central Michigan, Jaren didn't play that well.
No. They still won, though. Still
they
got
still won 17-12. So then Virginia Tech, Jaren goes in and stinks it up. So then
INTs. But he had the shoulder injury, though, Crowder.
But then Nicosi comes in, and they fight back. Yeah, they only lose by seven. Then Nicosi then starts Virginia game. But then Jaren gets in.
Mm-hmm.
Then they go to Georgia Tech, and who is it?
Nicosi.
They both play again. Jaren gets some run. Nicosi plays better, so he stays playing. And then you got last week where Nicosi was playing, and then Jaren comes in and wins it. So now you start Jaren. Y'all are doing hot hand. If y'all want to admit it or not, Dono, if you look at every game consecutively, y'all are just playing the hot hand quarterback.
What's my guy Tate Martell got to do to get a shot?
None. He can't throw the ball.
He's still with that Instagram model, though, I think.
She's going to leave him. He ain't getting enough burn.
I saw earlier this week, I don't follow his girlfriend on Twitter, but a retweet of hers popped up because I guess someone tweeted, oh, is Tate Martell single now? And then his girlfriend responded, quote, tweeted, nope, and then had a picture of him and her making out. So I guess passing some mono around. I guess they're still together.
Watch, he's when he
maybe that's why he was on medical leave of absence a couple weeks ago.
When he doesn't go to the league and that money doesn't come in, she's long gone. Watch.
I think it's true love. What else we got, Solana? True
the
love.
Panthers are back on the ice tonight. They're in Colorado to face the Avalanche. That's at 10 p.m. And at 9:30, you can hear our boy Alex Dono on with Doug Plagans on 560 to Joe WQAM for the Florida Panthers pregame show.
You know, Colorado is a place where I've been there. They have a lot of bison burger. I was there like 10 years ago. But I never tried a bite because it's always like I'm very frugal. Mm-hmm. And like every like burger joint you go to in Colorado offers a bison burger, but it's like $3 more than the regular beef burger. So I went with the regular beef every time.
Is this this like Colorado with Denver in it? Why y'all saying it like that?
They do have a very large Latin American population there. And I'm not
but
making
it's Colorado.
That up. Yeah, they have a very large,
that's what I'm saying,
primarily Mexican American, but big Latino population in Colorado. It's a very big. You may not realize it until you go there, but
it's still
a big
Colorado.
Thing. Colorado.
That's what I'm saying.
If a bunch of Somalians move into Florida, are we going to speak Somalian?
Well, I think about like we 8th Street. It's Calle Ocho. It's not Calle Oco or something. Like
no,
we,
it's 8th Street. You just said it the first time.
Calle Ocho.
8th Street.
So Colorado. You stick the landing.
What is wrong with y'all? I don't know what's going on.
You gotta roll the R a little bit.
Are y'all hiding text messages from me?
It's what I'm saying. It's like when you go to La Sauceda.
What he said. Yeah.
La Sauceda.
That's where you go. You go to La Sauceda, you go to Colorado. Wow. Where is it?
The window you get the coffee, La Ventanita?
Yeah, La Ventanita.
La Ventanita.
Isn't that a song?
Justin Termine. Oh, we got to give that to DBJ. Justin Termine. I've never heard of him, but, and I might be botching his name. It might be Termine. Oh. He's a Sirius XM radio host, and he's making the argument, again, we're a week into the NBA season, that Anthony Davis is the best teammate LeBron James has ever played for.
I mean, he's not the first person to make that argument. Here's the thing. Anthony Davis has potential, certainly, to be the best teammate LeBron has ever had. But if you're going by resume and if you're going by full bodies of work, it's Dwayne Wade.
Yeah.
Right? So it's two different conversations. Because you look at Anthony Davis, you say, he has all the tools to be one of the great NBA players of all time, has all the tools to be, you know, better than Dwayne Wade ever was, but he hasn't gotten there yet, right? You go by full body work, Dwayne Wade, best teammate LeBron has ever had.
As of now, yes, I'm right. Can it change in 10 years, Solana, though? Yes,
sure,
it
could.
But Dwayne Wade's top shooting guard to ever play the game, right?
Well, and Dwayne Wade also.
You can argue that a lot. You want to go back to Iceman and all those guys?
Bro, get out of here, Iceman. Like, Dwayne Wade, top three shooting guard of all time.
I think he's cemented
Kobe,
there.
Kobe, Jordan, and then Wade.
Kobe and Wade. Easy.
Really?
Yeah. Simple.
I just think people can argue it. That's what I would say.
Like, a lot of people say Jerry West. Jerry West,
that's what I'm saying. When you go back to the old 60s, 70s, like, I would say, D-Wade's going to drop.
D-Wade's highly regarded as a top five shooting guard of all time. And, like, Anthony Davis isn't a top five power forward of all time. He's clearly not a top five center of all time because he refuses to play the center position. So, like, what are we doing there? Like, just because he has all the tools to be great, he's already better than Dwayne Wade, who is a Hall of Famer. Like, I just don't get what we're doing there.
I think all it is are people throwing shade at the big three Miami Heat. Like, I think that's what it comes. People are still, even nearly a decade after that era ended, people are still trying to downplay the big three era. Anything else, Solana? Any weather?
Yeah, game 7 tonight, by the way, of the World Series. That's at 8:08 p.m. And finally, a German funeral ended on a high note after mourners were accidentally given cake laced with marijuana at the wake.
Well, I mean, how did they even, like, have that cake? Did the bakery, like, they had something special and they gave the wrong one to the wrong party? Or was somebody playing a prank? Like, how does that happen?
Remember on, what was that? With the crazy guy with the baby and the glasses? Hangover.
Oh, yeah, the Hangover.
Remember?
It's a weird way to describe that movie.
But he gave them the drugs because
the roofie.
Like, I wanted everybody to have a better night. So the baker's sitting there. It's a family friend. They know it's a funeral. Hey, I want everybody to make it a little better night. So he sprinkles a little THC in there, a little CBD, and let's see what happens.
I like the way you think.
You know?
Oh, man. When we come back, we'll have 15 minutes of heat. We'll be joined by Chris Fisher from NBC6.
Before we do break, I do need to do weather.
Oh, my bad.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Do your thing.
Weather is brought to you by Hialeah Park right now in South Florida. It is currently partly cloudy. Tonight, the low will drop to 79 degrees, just 10 degrees away from being nice. A 90% chance it will not rain. 0 inches of precipitation tonight. Okay. Weather, again, is brought to you by Hialeah Park. For the best poker promotions in South Florida, visit Hialeah Park Poker Room. Come win your share of $350,000 in monthly high hand giveaways. That's more than $10,000 a day in high hands. Why play anywhere else? Visit HialeahPark.com. For more information. Crowder, you got something to do here.
Got a live read, bro?
I was looking up the best shooting guards of all time.
Who you got, Dwayne Wade, number three?
I've seen a couple. I've seen Allen Iverson in front of Wade.
Eh.
I've seen George Gervin in front of Wade.
Bro, I will fight you
now. Don't hit me. I'm just reading what I'm reading. Reggie Miller's up there with him. Clyde Drexler. There's different lists.
So you're trying to take him out of the
top 10. I'm telling you, it goes Jordan, Kobe. Every list has Jordan Kobe.
I mean, Kobe kind of a selfish player.
And from there, it moves in different directions.
This is not me,
Yard, Barker, different things. I'm just saying.
I think if you go by efficiency, you can argue that Dwayne Wade was better than Kobe.
Yeah,
Kobe just shot a lot more.
This list has James Harden over Dwayne Wade already. I'm just saying. Bro,
he puts
I'm just
me
reading
to sleep,
them.
Though.
Don't get mad at me.
Nah, trash list.
I'm mad. Trash list.
What were y'all doing 41 years ago? Y'all don't know. What were y'all doing yesterday? Y'all probably don't know. Y'all are crazy. I'll tell you what J&K Roofing was doing. They were fixing, replacing, and restoring roofs 41 years, they have been the premier roofing company in South Florida. They are awesome. They specialize in both residential and commercial. No job too big, no job too small. Just holler at them. And for 41 years, they figured out quality and service is exactly what customers want. So they have high-quality roofing materials, shingles, gravel, tile. Everything they fix your house with is high quality, and the skilled workers are awesome. Reliable, hardworking, respectful, professional. J&K is not going to spring up charges on you. They've been doing it so long, they know the prices. They're not going to double the price. They're not going to add $100 here and there, you know, try to find ways to make you spend more money. They're going to give you a price, and they're going to stick with it. They will restore your roof. Every roof doesn't need to be repaired, and they'll be honest with you. They'll get your roof working in perfect order, and they will also remove the mold and moss that will affect it negatively later. Waterproofing, with all these hurricanes, with all the temperature change in South Florida, waterproofing is a big thing down here. There are roofs that do not need to be replaced. They just need to be waterproofed. And that's what J&K is going to do. They're going to be honest with you and let you know if you need to restore your roof, need to waterproof your roof, or replace your roof. And if they're replacing it, and I love this about the commercial projects, they are going to work with you. They're going to talk to the business owner. They don't want to disrupt your business while installing, replacing, or repairing your roof. They're going to work with you on a way so you can continue to make money while they get a beautiful roof on your business. For the best roofing company in the world, give Donnie or Julio a call at 954-961-ROOF. That's 954-961-7663. That is J&K Roofing.
When we come back, 15 minutes of heat with Chris Fisher from NBC6. Hawk and Crowder Show with Dono sitting in for Hawk today. Crowder's here. Solana's here. It's time for 15 minutes of heat brought to you by Comcast. Get the speed, coverage, and control you need with Xfinity XFi. What is it you call this, Solana? A wrap-it-up Wednesday? What is this?
Yeah, it's wrap-it-up Wednesdays.
I love making music.
Yeah?
Yeah. This is maybe a warm-up song. You don't really make babies to this.
You can make babies to Chaka Khan.
Chaka Khan, some song, but this beat's a little fast, man. Like,
sometimes you gotta speed it up.
I don't know if y'all pace up y'all strokes.
What about Boys to Men? Baby making music.
That's baby making music. When Michael talks, hey baby. Every time, man. I knew.
On 15 Minutes of Heat, we're joined now by Chris Fisher from NBC6. Does a great job covering the teams down here. Chris, how you doing today, man? Ooh, I think I might have. Hello,
on, Chris.
Did I screw up the phone line, or did Solana
Chris
screw
like
up?
That? Chris, my man.
I'll blame Solana for this.
Chris, a good-looking dude, man.
He is.
Boy, he's always clean.
Yeah, yeah.
Saw him in the holding cell one time. He was edged up.
the mugshot.
Chris, I've
good.
Never seen Chris Fisher when he wasn't like to peak.
Here's a by the way, before we re-corral Chris onto the phone line, here's a roster update, Crowder, from the Heat. Coach Spo says James Johnson has met his conditioning requirement, has returned to practice, and will travel with the team to Atlanta for tomorrow's game against the Hawks. So how about that? James Johnson, which it always surprised me that he was out of shape to begin with, because the guy is like, he's a black belt. He always seemed to be in good condition in recent years, didn't make the conditioning requirement. So does this mean you have to stop making jokes about him eating up all the chicken wings in the concessions?
I got to see him play first.
Okay.
I know, because
okay.
Black belts does not make you push away from that dinner table. Think about it. You get a black belt, calories don't run from a black belt.
That's
if you
fair.
Still eat groceries, you're going to gain weight.
What's your take, by the way? Because Jimmy Butler did – oh, do we have Chris now? All right, Chris Fisher from NBC6 is with us. And Chris was at the – he was at the game last night, Jimmy Butler's Heat debut. He dropped 21. You know, Chris, I've been saying it since the preseason. So there's something special about this team in my eyes. Do you get the same sense? And what was it like being at the AAA celebrating the Jimmy Butler debut yesterday?
Well, I thought it was fantastic. I mean – going back to your jams there, it's like turning on some Jodeci and getting into it. It was you're feeling the rhythm out there, you know? The Heat Nation was loving Jimmy Butler on the floor, throwing up those 12 points in the first quarter, really distributing the ball, as Eric Spoelstra said after the game. It allows the rest of the team to get into that rhythm that Channing was talking about. So Butler being on the floor definitely changes the way that this Miami Heat team plays. And you saw that with Tyler Hero coming off the bench. It's almost like, as we've seen, whether it's on social media or through the practices, that Tyler is kind of Jimmy's protege. And Tyler really seemed to step up last night. When I asked Tyler after the game about Jimmy being out there, he had said, hey, man, when he wasn't in Minnesota, he's like, what's going on? I planned on playing games with you. Now you ain't here. So now that Jimmy's back in the fold, it totally changes the dynamic of this Heat team, allows them to operate a little bit more offensively, and also with Butler on the defensive side, spoke to that last night and how tremendous he is to have him back there.
You know, and Tyler Hero is not the only rookie that's lighting it up. I mean, Kendrick Nunn, what a revelation he's been this season so far, Chris.
He absolutely has. And when you look at it, the points per game, I mean, the most out of the first three games of any rookie all time for the Miami Heat, it's been spectacular. But then again, he also is a 24-year-old rookie. He was in the G League last year. Golden State didn't bring him up. They could sure use him right about now.
Yeah.
But he plays a defensive style of basketball, and that's why he's earning those starting minutes. Tyler Hero still has something to prove on the defensive side. We saw that with the posterized dunk from Cam Reddish last night, but obviously Tyler got the better of him. But Kendrick Nunn, as Spo said, he's just steady. He plays both sides of the floor effectively, and he's a calming influence out there. You can't tell if the game's on the line or it's the first quarter when the way Kendrick Nunn handles the ball.
And, Chris, everybody, you know, people still, fans still, you know, we get all the calls all the time. People still question Spo. Is this when you should appreciate Spo, when he starts two rookies and they're going out there and beating people? Even before Jimmy came back, Chris, they were 2-1, and they, you know, they could have been 3-0. They're not getting whooped. Is this when the fan base should really appreciate how good of a coach Spo is?
I think it's bigger than Spo. But, yes, I agree with you on that, Channing. But I think they should appreciate the Heat culture. We hear so much about it, and we talk about it quite a bit, but it is something to remark at because these guys play that defensive brand of basketball that's almost gone out of the NBA anymore. It's all about branding, meatball, who can score the ball. The Heat have been playing a defensive style that really stifled the first two teams in Milwaukee, especially. And that was interesting. Giannis to foul out of the game. Yeah, it was the second time he fouled out already this season. But to get the MVP of the league to foul out of the game, that's impressive. It didn't work out in Minnesota. And then last night against Atlanta, it was working. John Collins put up some points. Trey Young looked good earlier. That definitely changed the dynamic. But when you have that defensive style that Spo implements and that hard-working style, this is a team that seemingly fits him like a glove. Now, they could use a little more star production, but so far, so good out of this young team.
Yo, when we talk about Heat culture and the hard work, how much of what we're seeing so far this season is a result of the addition by subtraction of getting rid of a Hassan Whiteside, who, listen, I know he's got a lot of fans in this town, but I never really felt like he fit that culture, Chris.
Well, let's just call a spade a spade. The guy only stepped up when he played against other centers, big-name centers, Andre Drummond, Joel Embiid. He came out every one set of every five games to have a good game and try to play hard. And so losing that type of attitude, somebody that's not willing to go 110% all the time and get everything they got, that's huge. Because as Pat Riley said with the Heat culture, it's being the most dedicated. And these Heat players so far are starting to show that. And it's great that they got these young guys and Kendrick Nunn, Chris Silva, who I think is going to be a very interesting problem when his 45-day contract is up and he has to go down to the G League. And then Tyler Hero, because they are dedicated. They are willing to put it on the line. And they're willing to grind out there. And when you have a team full of grinders, that's going to fill the stands, even if the W's aren't coming, because you see the hard work. You see the dedication that they're putting into it. And you know that they're going to give you a show. You're going to get your money's worth. And so these guys buying into the system that has been instilled on the defensive side and getting rid of Hassan Whiteside, the one problem I do foresee is James Johnson and Deion Waiters both being out of shape. James Yep. Johnson's been gone from the team now for more than a month. Deion Waiters has got to check his attitude at the door. And last night I noticed on his locker, he had a sign that said something along the lines about respect. He needs to respect that locker room is what he needs to do and understand he's playing for the other guys around him, not just a paycheck. And if he can buy in the system this season, I think he would be such an attribute coming off the bench for the Heat.
Like, I was just going to ask you about that, Chris. These two guys, do you think they're integrated back into the lineup early? Because we know Deion was eligible to play last night. They didn't play him. Like, how long do you think it takes James and Deion to get back into the rotation?
Well, I'll tell you this. Just put it from a Jimmy Butler perspective. Now, remember, he works very hard. He has these long hours. He works out with Tyler Hero and these guys off to the side, even after practice. And even at points last night, he didn't look like he was on the same page as some of those guys with his teammates. So Deion, who's been out of the fold, and especially James Johnson, it's going to take them a while to work their way onto the floor. And I got to expect it's going to be, you know, more of a December timing, a December type of time when they start getting those regular minutes that they're accustomed to, or maybe even not, if these rookies continue to play the way that they are and there is no drop-off. I think they've got a lot to prove not just for the fact of how much money they're earning, but I think they have a lot to prove to Spo and to these teammates that they have now that they deserve that time on the floor. And obviously, being out of shape, not playing into the Heat culture, not sacrificing for the good of the team overall, that's not helping their matter right now. And it's going to take a while for them to get on the floor and continually get those minutes that they're looking for.
We're joined by Chris Fisher from NBC6. And Chris, on these notes, you know, with the rotation being shortened and not having Deion and JJ, and for the first three games not having Jimmy Butler out on paternity, but how big was it for this team without Jimmy, without Deion and JJ, for what that's worth, to start 2-1 and to see some of these players get some confidence to know they can win without Jimmy Butler?
You know, it's shocking to me, really, that the confidence that's already instilled in these young players, when you look at the Kendrick Nunn, the Tyler Hero, the Chris Silva, how big they were in those first three games without Jimmy Butler, that Spo says they've earned those minutes. It's not like they were just handed to them. So it's interesting how much these young players have come in and have really played at an NBA almost elite level or all-star caliber level when you talk about Hero and Kendrick Nunn. And the fact that they're able to earn these minutes, I just think with those other players, James Johnson and Deion Waiters, it'll take them a while. And even when they do come back, I still think they're going to play second fiddle to the young kids, because at the end of the year when their contracts are up, I don't see them playing in Miami much longer. But the confidence you have in these young players right now, it has to be fantastic. If you got to feel good as a Heat organization, what you've seen out of these young guys and how much they've been able to handle. Can they do it for the length of the season, really, is the question.
Chris Fisher from NBC6 joining us. And, you know, Chris, I guess anybody listening has probably figured out I'm drinking a lot of Kool-Aid on this team. A 3-1 start very early. But what's your prediction? You probably made one preseason. I don't know if that's changed after four games. But as far as what seed the Heat will take in the Eastern Conference, what's your prediction on that?
I'm a pretty rational person. I think they could be a fourth or a fifth. I know they're going to have a difficult road eventually. It's not going to come this easy. Other teams are going to start to put it together. The Heat obviously have very quickly. But I think, you know, attrition will kick in when it comes to these young guys. And a fourth or fifth seed really wouldn't be that bad for this team. I mean, if they started talking about seventh, eighth seed, that's a totally different story. But it all really relies upon the health of Jimmy Butler this year. If he's able to stay healthy all season long. Even though the Heat looked good in those first three games, if Butler was to go down to injury, what would that mean for this team that they're, like you said, Alex, the bench is not deep? So it would be a problem. It's all about the health of Jimmy.
And I was watching last night, Chris. How long until Myers Leonard slaps Bam Adebayo for stealing all his damn rebounds? Because Meyer's standing there under the rim, and Bam runs out of left field and snatches the ball from the man over and over and over again. Meyer's going to slap Bam, Chris.
I would love to see Meyer's letter do karaoke. That guy's
yes!
voice is so damn deep. It's incredible. Like, he's, I don't know if you all listen to country music, but Josh Turner, he should be Josh Turner for Halloween. I mean,
Crowder's
right
a huge
point.
Country music fan.
Oh, Josh Turner? Yeah, he did something with Lil Jon.
But but Myers Leonard's getting his rebound stolen. You gotta love the athleticism of Bam. I mean, Spo talked about it last night. Just his development, not only defensively on crashing the boards, but what he's been able to do with the free throw line and getting to the free throw line. This Heat team has gotten to the free throw line so much that it's shocking over the first four games. And Bam has been a big reason for that. He's been very aggressive in the paint. His development has been phenomenal. I mean, if Tyler Hero develops the way that Bam Adebayo has developed, then he'd have gotten steals late in the lottery, and that is fantastic. So you're very optimistic looking at Bam. Yeah, I think he's also carrying a little bit of that FIBA World Cup, missing out on Team USA, a little bit of that chip on his shoulder with something to prove this season.
He's Chris Fisher, Emmy and AP award-winning sports anchor and reporter from NBC6. Follow him on Twitter at FisherNBC6. Chris, thank you so much. I'm sure we'll talk to you again soon.
Always, boys. Take care.
Good stuff there. That's 15 Minutes of Heat brought to you by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. I think that was a good point by you, Crowder, on Myers Leonard, on getting those rebounds stolen.
Did you watch it last
night?
Yeah. It was like third quarter, and Bam was snatching it. you know, like the shortstop and the center fielder with a pop up. It's mine. It's mine. Yeah. It's mine. There's no verbal communication with these guys, bro. I'm here, big man. Let me get the ball.
Dono in for Hawk. Hawk and Crowder show continues next. Thanks again to Chris Fisher from NBC6 for joining us. Crowder, before we wrap it up, we got to play this back. So I think you guys played this yesterday because it was National Cat Day.
Yes.
And when it's National Cat Day,
he brought us enjoyment.
I mean, the most famous cat story had to be the John Renshaw cat story. Former host here on one of our two affiliate stations.
Yes.
560 WQAM, now 560 The Joe. John Renshaw, and I was in the room with him. I worked on a show. One of the most magical moments of my radio career when...
Before you give people... Was it something different on this day, or was it this isolated incident?
I don't know. He was a little out of it. Okay. It was not an isolated incident, but he was a little off that day.
It kept getting worse and worse.
And he apparently saw a cat in the studio.
One of the biggest blunts I remember. Is my cat in here? No, I can swear I
don't think
a cat
so.
Run to the studio and touch you.
You got problems, bro.
I remember. No, I just thought I saw a cat. I don't know how that would be a problem. I just didn't see the cat.
What's his name?
I don't know. My cat's Nova. I didn't know if it was my cat or not. If I mispronounce my cat, I do apologize.
I don't know. If I mispronounce my cat, I apologize.
Did y'all continue? Because I've heard that clip 1,000 times. But I didn't hear it live. Like, did y'all continue the segment?
I don't remember how the rest of that segment went, but he was on for another 2 hours after that.
Oh, still on air?
Yeah.
After seeing a cat?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Now I just, plot thickens.
Yeah, it was 2 more hours of live. Do you have any other clips from that day, Solana?
No, we don't have any other clips right now, but...
They probably didn't survive the whole move.
Yeah, unfortunately. I might have to go through the archives and find that.
Seriously.
But like, how did you react to, like, I want to know how you reacted
we need more.
Come on, Dono.
I did, well, you mean, as you heard that, like, I messed with him a little bit. Like, you got, what's the cat's name? You got problems. But it was... It was very uncomfortable for me, but it was one of those things where this was like 6 years ago. This was 2013. So looking back on it, even a week after that, was hilarious. But in that day, like I would leave the room during commercial breaks. Yeah, it was very uncomfortable because he was seeing cats. He was seeing things walking around the studio. And I think he even may have even asked me after, are you sure there's not a cat in here? I think he thought we were pranking him, like brought a cat into the studio. It was one of those days. Were you already working in radio full time at that point?
Or? Yeah, 13.
You were on with
in.
Coop.
It was me. It was Coop and Crowder. And and I remember after that day, I heard a lot of stories. More happened that day. Yeah. I didn't know he was on for another 2 hours, but I remember the day it happened. Yeah. Yeah. But I don't remember hearing it like the entire segment. That's why I'm asking. But yeah, he was an interesting person.
Well, and he had, like, I think before he even got in that day, he had had a fender bender and like run into the car of one of our interns that morning.
Yes, I heard the entire story, Dono. It was a lot deeper than looking for Nova.
It was a very special day.
And if I mispronounce my cat, I'm sorry.
I don't know.
I
mispronounced my cat, I'm sorry.
One of the biggest blunts I remember. Is my cat in here? No, I can swear I
don't
saw
think
a cat
so.
Run to the studio and touch you.
You got problems, bro.
I remember. No, I just thought I saw a cat. I don't know how that would be a problem. I just didn't see the cat.
What's his name?
I don't know. My cat's Nova. I didn't know if it was my cat or not. If I mispronounce my cat, I do apologize.
That was probably the original National Cat Day.
Come on, man.
National Cat Day was born from Nova. And Crowder, that was a pretty tiny studio that we used to be in. Like, there's not too many places for a cat to hide.
Nowhere to hide. The studio was 8 feet by 5 feet. It was a little box. It was a closet.
Or suddenly an hour into the show, 45 minutes into the show, there's a cat in here the whole time. Is that a cat?
That's why it's funny.
I mean, that was unbelievable. And of course, a little insight on that was after that whole thing happened, there was like a station like mandate, like just pretend that never happened, like burn the clips, the podcast, all of it done. And then the next morning I'm driving into work and I hear the Joe Rose Show playing all the clips.
Yep.
It goes to show you. It goes to show you the power of the Joe Rove Show, because all of that audio was supposed to be forgotten. Like, it never happened. If anybody didn't hear it, they'll never know it existed. There was no podcast posted that day. Yeah. And then the next morning, Joe and Zach are playing all the clips.
I hit Renshaw with – it was him and Dwork. And I hit them with the, hey, how's Nova? And they didn't think it was funny because I guess, obviously, people got in trouble for that.
Yeah.
Like, Nova doing good? Oh, no, not funny, not funny. Bro, you the one that said that silly crap.
Like, you weren't supposed to know about it because it was never supposed to be brought up again. And then 6 a.m. on the Joe Rove Show, they had all the clips.
Oh, Joe and Zach could throw you under the bus now.
Absolutely.
Boy, they'll throw you under the bus. Listen, quick.
Man, it's all in the name of a good show. It is, my friend. Somebody says we got to get the whole story behind this Renshaw guy. I actually Google searched him after that segment yesterday and couldn't find anything. Yeah, I don't know. I don't even know what – I haven't seen him in, like, over 5 years. I don't know what he's up to. Like, I just don't.
I don't know.
I don't know.
More interested in how Nova's doing.
Yeah, Nova's doing great. She's still running around the old studio.
If I mispronounce my cat, I do apologize.
Oh, man. Well, I had a lot of fun today. Alex Solana always doing great work. The award-winning weather reports and all that good stuff. Channing, it's always nice working with you, my friend.
Appreciate you, brother. You're awesome.
Thank you. Hawk will be back tomorrow. Alex Dono had a great time filling in. I'll be back on the air later on tonight for Panthers preview. Panthers play a late one. This evening in Colorado, as Solana would say. So I'll be back on around 9:30 to break that all down.
Dono.
Yeah, yeah.
What happened to your ex again?
She died.
Put the sign in, and I put the semen around to hold the sign up.
The what?
I built the sign, I printed the sign, and I installed the sign with cement. No, I don't really like chocolate. I don't fool with chocolate.
So you don't fool with it at all?
No. I have grew up with my mom and two sisters. And every time they'd have their menstrual cycle, they'd eat chocolate. So I associated with menstruation.
Dust in the wind. All we are is dust in the wind.
You need to need, 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 need.
That's all, folks.
You need to need. Need.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.